If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harris, and I look to my right. Aaron Ladd is here. We got Rob back. He was in Jamaica.
Rob, you ain't bring me nothing?
He didn't bring me nothing.
He was supposed to get me a little, you know.
I don't know.
A little wagwan.
You know what I'm not doing? Getting arrested at Customs for Aaron Ladd.
Come on, dog.
That's not the path for me.
I need it straight from the tap. The motherland.
If he brought that thing right now, you'd be some... I change your life. That smoke could change your
Did
life.
Did you smell anything down there?
I mean, there are definitely people passing it around down there. It's not hard to
Rob
find.
Rob was like, no. Rob,
put that out.
Rob would have turned you into the local authorities. Don't nobody want to go to jail in Jamaica. Don't nobody want to do that. Let me play this for you. Are you a fantasy football guy?
Yes, I am. We're charging up.
Okay. Did you hear about the man who had to go to a baseball game dressed as you?
I'm going to guess by kind of reading between.
You're kind of trying to read the situation.
Yeah. And not
t-shirt.
Really good at a fantasy sport.
Yeah.
Probably came in last place and had to go roll a clown to the ball game.
Yeah.
He looks very sad, too. That's not a happy clown.
Well, you know, he wasn't very good in the football pool.
A gentleman had to go to the baseball game dressed as a clown. Because he came in last place in his fantasy league. How do you guys determine who gets the number one overall pick? How do you guys determine what the penalty is if you come in last place?
Penalty, I've done two now.
I've heard your sports pick, so that none of that is surprising that you were a two-time Carolina Panther. No one's surprised by this revelation.
One of them went kind of viral. It was, I had to go to a JoJo Siwa concert. she was playing in Springfield, and this was heavy investment. Eventually, because it ended up snowing like one of the days, and you know, that's like a two and a half hour drive. I ended up going to Kids Bop at Starlight instead.
What was the other penalty? So one year you had to go to a Kids Bop concert.
Yeah, I think maybe the other year was like a Milk Mile or something like that. Have you heard of that before?
I've heard of it. I don't know what 100% it is, though.
It's like for every lap, you do four laps around. You got to do it in a certain amount of time. And then every quarter of a mile, every one lap around, you drink a glass of milk.
Okay. All right.
But I think
how do you determine the number one overall pick? I am curious to know that.
We got a cameo from an adult actress, and she pulled names out of her fleshlight.
You think you could have maybe made a more PG version of that story?
I just
want to know.
She's actually in media,
just
too.
Because
she's really
we're leaving
good.
610 Sports Radio don't mean we are leaving radio. You know what I mean? It don't mean we leaving radio. Like, you don't think that we still, I can still get fired here. I just want to let you know that.
It was clean.
How do you know?
I mean, I guess I don't.
Yeah, you don't know. That's what I mean. You're sick over there. What else do you got on your little computer thing over there?
Let's do some cheese preseason notes, because obviously the preseason game was on 38 The Spot. This upcoming one against the Lions on Saturday will be on KSHB 41. But if you purchased bunny ears, keep them in handy, because the third game will be back on Thursday.
Okay, the third preseason. If you're worried about the third preseason game,
what's the conflict for the third one? It's like a random Thursday.
The Democratic DNC. National Convention.
Oh,
yeah. The Democratic National Convention is that day. So,
DNC.
Yeah.
Home of the Chiefs over there.
Yeah. I just would say, I mean, we're going to have real college football on that day. Like, if you're that worried about the third preseason game, the second half, anybody is in the game in that third preseason game, the second half, they ain't making a team. You were watching football for the sake of just watching football. It's like you were chewing sugarless gum that you've been chewing for the last 5 hours. Spit it out. Please do something else with your time.
Obviously a big bummer for Hollywood Brown. And we found out today, Jordan Schultz report, looks like 4 to 6 weeks with the collarbone, whatever, D-collar, whatever injury that he suffered there. One play in, tough because you don't get a look. Now you're guessing and you're estimating what it's going to look like. And when you come down to the 53-man roster cut down, that initial wide receiver room is going to look funky, assuming a Rashee Rice suspension, and now assuming you're going to be without Hollywood Brown.
There's no Rashee Rice suspension that's coming. There's none.
Are you reporting that?
It's August 13th, and he has no court date.
Are you reporting that?
No, I'm just putting two and two together as someone that watches the league. They have no court date. If they had a court date, I would have a completely different opinion. Now, they have a civil, but the criminal aspect of this, there's no court date on the books. He is not being suspended for that
this season
without there being some kind of court hearing or something. And I'm not, there's no part of me that believes he is going to be suspended.
That doesn't impact how you view the roster out of St. Joe into week one?
No, I still think they're in a better spot. They didn't have Travis Kelce for week one last year.
Sure.
So if you're telling me going into the Ravens
or Chris
game,
Jones,
you have a healthy Travis Kelce, just from a passing standpoint, you have a healthy Travis Kelce, knock on wood, you have Rashee Rice in year two, so knows the offense, certainly more suitable than he was last year. You got Xavier Worthy, you got Justin Watson. That's a solid four of pass catching options. And if you just look at the back of the baseball card for Hollywood Brown, he never played all of the games. Him being hurt is not surprising to me in the least bit. There's not a single person among us that if I had told you, hey, I'm going to set the over-under for Hollywood Brown at 15 and a half games, then you would have taken the over. He's done it one time in 6 years. No, he's not playing all of the games. So maybe I'm giving the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt, and they've earned that by winning the Super Bowl.
Last 2 years.
Wake me up when we get to Black Friday.
Oh, jeez.
Whenever we get to Black Friday, then we can start to who's playing well, who's not playing well. I've seen it too many times.
Last year has jaded you to the point to where don't even, as long as they are in contention to the AFC West around week 15 or 16, then you'll start cranking up the machine.
I just think they figure it out.
Speaking of, you
have a friend. I'm sure you have a friend. That let's say when you were back in school, you had to study your ass off. I mean, you had to study. Your friend, hey man, have you started on that paper? No, I haven't started on that paper yet. Your friend would just that night get out there, type it up. Your friend would get a better grade than you got. I'm like, wait, hold on. I did all of this. Or man, you've been putting up shots all day. You've been stretching. Your friend, hey, hand me the ball. You give him the ball, he goes up there, windmill dunks. Wait, hold on. You didn't warm up or anything? That's the Chiefs. I've seen it too many times. Now, I mean, if they start 2-6, then we can have a very different conversation. But as long as the Chiefs are in contention in either the division or the playoffs, I just don't know how you can be worried just given what we've seen the last 5 years. For whatever reason right now, they just figure out a way. It doesn't matter who's healthy. It doesn't matter who's hurt. As long as Patrick Mahomes is on the field and Andy Reid is still coaching, they got a shot to win the Super Bowl.
I think health is the one thing you're assuming there because they've avoided major injury down the stretch in these runs. And that is something that you can't take for granted. Speaking of figuring it out and off of that first preseason game, Chiefs-Jaguars, it seems like for 10 weeks every year we come in and say, what's going on with the special teams unit? 2 years ago, it was the holds and laces in, laces out. We had former special teams people speaking on. There was back and forth there. And what happened Saturday, obviously there's a misapplication of the rule. But it's still clear that it's murky. It's still clear that it's a moving target. And obviously special teams is one of those units where there's a lot of new faces every year and a lot of guys who are on the bubble doing a couple different things contributing to that unit. I just wonder when that's going to happen. You don't care. I know.
No, I'm not going to say
I know.
I'm not going to say I don't care.
It's too early.
It's just hard for me. I made this analogy yesterday. When you were a kid and you tried something new, your parents would say, you're not going to figure it out the first time. Keep trying. Stick with it. And eventually you'll get there. We have seen the kickoff for our entire life. Every football game we have watched has had the same kickoff. We watch one football game with a kickoff. Oh, this stinks. Oh, like, hold on. Wait.
People have seen it before.
I had never. Now, Maybe you guys are watching USFL football. I've seen the ratings. You don't watch USFL football.
You've never seen this style kickoff before?
The Hall of Fame game was my first time
ever seeing
it. I
forgot. You don't cover the Chiefs. You don't go to camp. You don't go to practice.
That was my first time seeing it. So I have taken the stance of give me 1 month. Let me watch 1 month of NFL games, and then I can come to you and I can tell you whether I like it or don't like it. But it's new, and most things that are new, there's going to be bugs. There's going to be some quirks. Sure. There's going to be some flaws in it. I just feel like people thought it was going to be this ready-made. It was going to be so great, so improved. No, it's going to take some tinkering. It took the NFL 6 years for them to figure out what a catch was. You remember that. From the Calvin Johnson thing on, every week we could not figure out what a catch was. They eventually kept tweaking the rules and kept tweaking the rules. And I think now when you see a catch in a game, you got a really good understanding of whether they're going to call it a catch or not. It's going to take some time to get this to where everybody understands the rules and teams figure out the strategies. I'm willing to at least give them a quarter of the NFL season to figure it out.
I'm all in on Carson Steele.
Yeah.
All in on him being a fullback, a sausage-type guy. Obviously, he needs to bulk up just a little bit more to fit into that role, but liked what I've seen so far. I'm worried about this name, and I wonder what your thoughts are, because we're having a lot of these contract talks and that kind of thing around the Chiefs as they prepare for this push for a three-peat. Are the Chiefs going to pay Nick Bolton? I mean, you talk about guys who are injured, and last year was a tough year for injuries. The Creed Humphrey talk, the Trey Smith talk. I mean, guards are making $20 million a year. The guard market is what the wide receiver market used to be. Nick Bolton just kind of feels like the odd man out, and now we're going into the second week of preseason. He's back contributing, but I just wonder if this is going to be another year where we look around and we're like, wow, they got Drew Tranquil cheap. They could get his production cheap somewhere else. That's the one question I have.
I don't want to wiggle out of this. I'm going to try to give you an answer. Let me see how this season plays itself out. The only reason I bring that up is there's just not a lot of players at that position who have gotten paid. So maybe we have just overestimated how much money we think he is going to get. So like in the NFL, there are three players in the NFL. There's three linebackers at his position who have signed a deal that is over $40 million. So maybe you could re-sign Nick Bolton for a contract. And you can get them for four years, $32 million, which is not that much money in the grand scheme of things. You would be happy if you had a player on that. You can maybe even get them a little cheaper than that.
This deal's not happening in a vacuum, though, Dot. That's the big question. It's like, if it was Nick Bolton alone, sure, but it's Nick Bolton on top of Mahomes' annual deal restructure plus what you paid Kelsey and what you would potentially be paying Creed and Trey. I just just feels like, and I look at what the Cowboys are in absolute hell right now with what they're doing and everything lining up and all those deals.
They're not in hell. Their quarterback's not good enough. That's the problem. Okay. That's the problem. I mean, that's the problem with all these teams, because I hear people make this argument all the time. Well, I mean, it gets harder once you got to pay your quarterback. We're at the point now where half of the league has paid their quarterback. Pretty Kansas much. City is in no different of a spot than Philadelphia, no difference of a spot than Buffalo or whatever.
Jacksonville.
Think about it. Every team you think is good other than San Francisco has already paid their quarterback. Now, you could argue Houston, but Houston won nine games last
year. Atlanta paid their quarterback this offseason.
Everybody has paid their quarterback at this point. So every team has the same challenges and is trying to build around that roster. The question is your quarterback good? You don't mind paying your quarterback if it's Lamar Jackson.
No.
You mind paying your quarterback if it's Trevor Lawrence and you have one playoff win in four seasons. That's when it matters.
You want Juju Smith-Schuster back?
No. No. I don't want him back, actually, at all. I don't. What's his role on this team? You're bringing Juju back to be the sixth receiver? No.
He doesn't play special teams.
I also think his knees are done. I think it's over. It's funny to me. I guess maybe my point would be is it's like we know that every player in the league doesn't get this 8-year, 9-year, 10-year career that just wraps up really neatly. Yeah, right. It's like we watch plenty of football players like, hey, whatever happened to that guy? Oh, he's retired now. That's what's going to happen to Juju. You know what Juju's doing in 2 years? Twitch. That's what he's doing.
I knew you were
I'm serious. What he's doing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You can make a lot of money off doing Twitch and being an Instagram influencer and doing all that stuff. But in terms of, bro, he got cut from the Patriots wide receiver room. You're cooked, my brother. You're done. The Patriots wide receiver said you ain't good enough to make the team? No, you're done. You're absolutely done.
I saw some MVS drops on the timeline, too. You needed him. Y'all were like peanut butter and jelly.
I mean, those MVS drops coming more frequently than Drake right now. Oh, every time I get on the timeline, he drops something new. I'm telling you, that man constantly dropping new music. Every time I get on there.
You got to let me know next time you go out to the K. It was good to see you out there.
I've invited you out to the K. You said you didn't want to come. I had a free, we have a free ticket, all you can eat, really? All you can drink. I invited, said,
oh,
hey,
that
you
was
should,
yes.
You should come out there. You're like, nah, man, I got something. You know how you talk.
It was the next
man,
Monday.
I got something I got to do, man. I can't do it. It's like, all right, never mind.
Talk.
Rob, did I not? Don't we have free tickets, free drink, mm-hmm. free food?
It's Monday,
I said,
right?
Hey, Aaron, yeah. You should come out. And you were like, oh, man. You
know, I have
man.
A concert that day, but I'll see.
I could have been a guest concert.
Mr. Moneybags over there. Yo, what are they paying you over there? You always on vacation. You always at a concert.
Stop
what
it.
What is going on
I'll
here?
Be in St. Joe tomorrow. St. Joe tomorrow and Thursday.
What, they got a concert up there? What's going on in St. Joe? I don't know what's going on there. Every time I see you, you doing something crazy. That is our guy Aaron Ladd joining us in studio today. Aaron, man, it was great to have you in studio today.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Man, good to see you always.
Coming up on the other side, I would give you my NFL thought for the day. We'll also get back to the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio. Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs' title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick in Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
Let's get back to talking about the Chiefs. I can save my brains and IU thoughts. It's the same nonsense as it is before. All right, so this is where I would like to start. Let me read to you guys a recent report from Jordan Schultz, who is definitely plugged in. He does great work with Bleacher Report. Chiefs wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with the injury that he suffered on Saturday, per multiple sources. Opening night is 3 weeks from this Thursday night. KC opens up at home against Baltimore and then also Cincinnati. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back here. I just kind of looked at the calendar and did the math. This is about what I thought. So if opening night is 3 weeks away and it's a 4 to 6 week injury, I don't think he's going to play the game against Baltimore. Also, don't think he's playing against Cincinnati. I think the possible return date is the game against the Atlanta Falcons. That also goes in line with what we were told yesterday from Dr. David Chow that joined us on this show. Here's what he said the best case scenario was. Here's what he said the worst case scenario was.
Well, best case scenario, he's ready week one, right? And worst case scenario is PUP. And, you know, look, I can't tell you enough how I have to applaud Tyreek Hill and how fast he recovered. His SC joint recovery was, I don't know, to use a phrase, an Adrian Peterson-like ACL recovery, right? It's faster than most. So I don't want Hollywood Brown to feel like he's pressured to match that, especially since he's on the same team and it's a relatively unusual injury. I'm trying to give him some leeway. I would say his return is closer to 6 to 8 weeks than perhaps the 4 to 6 that's being broadcast, and hopefully it doesn't extend beyond the 8 weeks, which would be 4 weeks of PUP.
I do not believe that he is going to go on the PUP list. So for those of you that are unfamiliar with the PUP list, that is physically unable to perform, just think about it like football's disabled list. It used to be 6 weeks. They have now shortened that to 4. So you cannot come back. Doesn't matter if you feel healthy and you wake up with 2 weeks to go. No, if they put you on the list, you cannot play the first 4 weeks of the season. I'm going to guess, just based on how the Chiefs play this thing, they don't put you on the PUP list unless just really worst case scenario. So I think what has happened is he's going to make the 53-man roster, and they're just going to make him inactive for the most part over the course of the first couple of weeks. We know he's not playing. They know he's not going to play. You don't have to make any roster decisions. You can kind of keep everybody and do it from there. So I would be surprised. This timetable that we also get from Jordan Schultz would also suggest that he's not going on the PUP list. If he was going on the PUP list, I think you would know by now. There's too many great reporters out there. We have heard the same timeline basically from the beginning. If it is a 4 to 6 week injury and we are 3 weeks out from the start of the season, if he is just going to miss weeks 1 and 2, they're not putting him on the list. If he is going to miss weeks 1, 2, and 3, I still don't think they put him on the list and they have him go out there for the fourth game against the New Orleans Saints. I would just be surprised if he makes the list, Rob.
I mean, based on Jordan Schultz reporting, I would imagine he doesn't make the list. But the 4 weeks is what? Outside of week 2, it's kind of the 4 week window. Let's say they feel like it's going to be closer to 6, because 4 to 6 weeks is a window. It doesn't mean at the 4 week mark you're 100% healthy. I'm ready to go. It's been 4 weeks. Ding, check the box. Maybe the body takes more like 6 weeks to get ready. And if it is 6 weeks, you're looking at post week 3 to bring him back. At that point, save the roster spot, massage the roster math, protect a player from the practice squad that you think's on the fringe, and put him on PUP, which now goes 4 weeks. I think, and they'll know in the building, and Rick Burkhalter is as good as anyone at doing this, they'll know based on how his body is by the end of the preseason, if it's more like, hey, 3 weeks out of the regular season versus 1 or 2, because if you're going to miss games 1, 2, and 3, the roster math is simple. Just have him miss the fourth one and massage the roster to get a Justin Ross on the roster, to get Nico Remigio on the roster. I say if you're going to miss 3 weeks, just pup him and have missed the 4, but it depends on how his body is responding, and they'll know that by the end of the preseason.
So I want to play a couple of cuts for you guys. We have 4 separate cuts from Matt Nagy. Rob was so gracious in doing these cuts for us. Why don't we go through them? Because I don't want Rob's hard work to go in vain. Listen to what he said about Kadarius Toney. Now, usually I wouldn't play this, but it makes me laugh because Rob, he talked 7 seconds about Kadarius Toney. That was it. That's all he said. We usually don't have cuts this small. 7 seconds on Kadarius Toney. You got to be listening quick or you might miss it.
Kadarius, again, same thing. It's just making sure he's just got to get healthy and get out there so that we can, you know, see him and see the reps.
I'm not laughing. It's not funny. Matt Nagy. Kadarius Toney is not getting healthy. In fact, he has never been healthy. No one can disagree with what you're saying. What you're saying is true. What you are saying is right. He has never been healthy with the Chiefs. He was never healthy with the Giants. He was rarely healthy at Florida. So, yeah, you're right. We need to figure out a way to get Kadarius Toney healthy so we can get him on the field more. Show me what you guys have been able to figure out that nobody else has been able to figure out, and you guys haven't been able to figure that out for 2 years. At this point, it is what it is, man. I'm not wishing injury on anybody. I wish he could stay healthy. I'm sure he wishes he could stay healthy. He can't. He won't. He ain't. I don't know why we keep playing this game with Kadarius Toney. It seems like a fruitless exercise for all sides. Let's move on here. I want to play for you guys next about Justin Ross. Justin Ross is having a really good camp. I was on Twitter talking about this earlier today. He used to be you guys' flavor of the month. And then you guys have moved on from Justin Ross, which I, on one side of the coin, I understand. if you couldn't make last year's wide receiver room, how can we expect you to do anything? I think a lot of that is just centered around a very flawed premise that sometimes I think that football fans think that time stops. Like, we know time doesn't stop in our regular everyday lives, but somehow football fans are convinced that you can be bad in 2019, bad in 2020, hurt in 2021, miss all of 2022, but man, you can just step. No, that's not how it works. So a lot of the feeling last year towards Justin Ross, it was unrealistic from the very beginning. And now, since he didn't live up to unrealistic expectations, I think he has had a really good camp. He has been one of the biggest surprises that we have seen at camp. And if you were really excited about Justin Ross at this time last year, I would contend nothing has happened that would change your level of excitement about this team. He is never going to be the wide receiver that got 1,000 yards as a true freshman at Clemson. Can he be a number three receiver on a team? Could he possibly help a roster? We'll see. I think he's trending in actually pretty positive direction. He's made a couple of good camps over the last couple of days. He had a good camp in preseason. He stayed healthy so far. Now we'll see if he can stay out of trouble off the field. We'll see if he can stay healthy. But if you were on the Justin Ross bandwagon last year, I don't think there's really any reason to get off. In fact, you should feel a little bit better about Justin Ross. This player is warrant of some of the hype and excitement. And it's a lottery ticket from the beginning. He was an undrafted player that only four teams cleared medically. The chances of him hitting and being a productive NFL player were slim to none from the very, very beginning. But because he was really good in 2017, people just came into it with very unrealistic expectations for the young man that I just don't think is very fair. Here's what the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs had to say.
Justin's making plays. He's out there. He made a great catch there down the sideline. Again, just continuing to grow, not make the same mistake twice for Justin. I love his attitude. He's been very involved.
It is very weird that when you guys are seemingly off of Justin Ross, I am now on board with Justin Ross. I didn't line up for it to be this way. Someone said, well, if we were hype about it, you'd be making fun of us. I only make fun of you guys when you guys start to color outside the lines a bit. That I will give text line, I will give a majority of Chiefs Twitter this. You guys seem to have wised up. Maybe because you guys have been fooled enough. You want to know who has realistic expectations right now? Carson Steele. You guys aren't doing that weird thing with Carson Steele where you look at what he did at UCLA, and now you think he can be a legitimate number two back in the league. The Chiefs are going to have some 1-2 punch. You guys usually go off the deep end with guys. You guys haven't done that. You're not doing that with Nico Remigio. You're not doing that with Justin Ross right now. I don't know what's happened. But for the first time, you guys are being realistic with players. You guys are being realistic with Jarrett Wiley. You guys are being realistic with Hicks on the defensive end. I don't know what's gotten into Chiefs fans. I don't have much to complain about right now with how you guys are being. You guys are being realistic with guys. In fact, I don't know if you guys are being excited enough about some guys. Maybe you guys got a little over your skis at the very beginning of the season with Luis Reed-Zammit. Because, Rob, you was here in them early days when they got Zammit. I don't know what y'all was talking about. That man just started playing football a week ago, and y'all thought you could just – I don't care how fast and athletic you are. You can't just start playing football tomorrow and then be in the National Football League. That ain't how that thing works. No, not at all. So I give you guys credit. I think you guys have been realistic for the most part. All right, let's get back to Matt Nagy. Enough of me yapping. Here's Matt Nagy talking about Justin Watson.
Yeah, nothing real different right now other than Jay Watt stepping in, which is – Jay Watt has been so great. He's invaluable in the fact of just understanding every spot. So for him to kind of know this offense, where he's at, steps right on in. We change the name of the personnel, you know, per se, and the guys just keep rolling. But they're doing a good job, and I think it's one of those deals they just got to know. And it's next man up mentality, and we want Hollywood to get back as soon as he can, but we got to keep rolling, and we got the guys to do it.
I don't even have some fun or witty commentary about Justin Watson other than the Chiefs, they trust him. It's really that simple. The Chiefs know exactly what Justin Watson is. They know exactly what he's not. They trust him. He's dependable. He's a good teammate. He does the little things. He doesn't cause any problems. They are not getting rid of Justin Watson. He is making this team. He is going to be a contributor on this team for not just this year, probably the next couple of years. They're going to keep signing him to one-year deals. They like him. An injury happened. You need somebody to step up. This is why they're not going to get Juju Smith-Schuster. Because today, in 2024, I'd rather have Justin Watson than have Juju. I think Juju's done. And that's not an indictment on his ability. His body is giving up. That's obvious. His body's giving up. This is the thing about it. We're so used to seeing this with running backs that we only noticed it at that position and really nowhere else. If Juju was a running back, everybody would feel the same way. But he plays wide receiver. So it's, oh man, we still got, no. I think the year with the Chiefs was it. I think it was it. His body came together in the right season. He was in the right offense at the right time and cashed out. He cashed out, and the moment you brought that thing home, it broke, and you did not get the extended warranty. You're stuck. The Patriots paid him $16 million for 29 catches. You won. You won. You fleeced an NFL team. You won. He was never going to fleece Brett Veach. Never going to fleece Kansas City. So I don't want Juju back. Some of you might want Juju back. I don't want Juju back. I think they're fine. I think their wide receiver room is perfectly fine. I also don't think there's room for Juju on this team. I don't think there's room. Even with the injury to Hollywood Brown, they're fine at wide receiver. They do not need him. Don't go get him. I want to play one more cut for you guys. Matt Nagy is talking about Carson Steele, who is turning into a little bit of a fan favorite. Here's what the OC said about their new running back.
He's been progressively getting better and better by the day. And then you saw that with some of the runs he had. We're staying on top of these guys, making sure that they're good with the details, with footwork, understanding assignments, where they're at. But he's what I like about him is right now he's doing a lot of good things and being in the right spot at the right time, and you can trust him.
So there was an injury at training camp. There's an injury that happened. I don't believe Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been at practice the last couple of days. I don't know what's going on with him, but he has not been at practice the last couple of days. Rob, do you know who got the second team reps today at the position? Carson Steele got them over you guys, Denerick Prince. I think Carson Steele has a role on this team. I think people are going to be surprised at the role that he has on this team. I think people are going to be surprised. He ran for over 5 yards a carry last year at UCLA. We're talking about a guy that had success at a high level. I would really like to have him on the show. There's a lot of questions I would ask him. I'm surprised that a player like him, I'm surprised that he declared early for the draft. Are you not surprised by that, Rob? Because he had another year left of college football. I'm surprised that he declared early because it seems to me he would be a guy that this upcoming season, heading into your senior year, after you ran for 5.1 yards per carry, you have a really good senior year and you get drafted somewhere. I would just love to know why he declared for the draft. Maybe it was, I want to start my clock. I play running back, so I don't want to play college football anymore. But you also get paid to play college football now. I'm guessing he might get paid. I mean, he might get paid pretty comparable to what he's getting paid right now to play for the Chiefs. If you had gone to the right team in the right situation, I would love to know why he chose to come to the NFL at this point and why he didn't play one more year of college football and get drafted next year. But I mean, all that might not matter. He might just end up making the team. You know, he might just end up making the team and it worked out the way you want it to work out. Now you're making the minimum this upcoming season. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get back to sports coming up at the top of the hour. There is a man who is charging $400 to attend his wedding. We will play for you his logic and why he is doing that. And we'll get Rob's opinion as Rob just got married a month ago. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk a little bit of baseball. We'll be joined by Dan Hayes. He is the beat writer for the Minnesota Twins. He covers the team for The Athletic. The Royals, as you know, they are in a series with the Minnesota Twins. They are in a race for the, I guess, division, wild card, they're in a race with the Minnesota Twins. All right, let me play this story for you guys really quickly. I want to play this because our dear friend Rob recently got married. Congratulations to you, Rob. Recently got back from his honeymoon. Happy to have Rob back. I went to Rob's wedding, and let me tell you, it was a beautiful ceremony. They had it in a nice venue. Everybody looked nice. Everybody was very friendly. He had a DJ. The DJ was hyping people up. He did like a Chicago Bulls intro. And now it was great. Rob's family, great. They had his and her drinks, open bar. They had a little buffet, food, little steak. Oh, it was a great time. You want to know how much it was for me? I didn't pay. It was free. If Rob had told me that I would have had to pay to go to his wedding, the next question would have been how much? And if he had told me the number that this gentleman said earlier today as I was searching the internet, I would have said, Rob, hey, I'll see you at work, big dog.
So me and my fiance, we are getting married, right? And to be a part of our wedding, you have to pay $450 for a ticket. And that's for each guest. So we invited friends and family to our wedding. Tell me why everybody that we invited has declined the invitation. We already have spent almost close to $200,000 on the wedding. We have already pre-ordered the cake. We already put down a deposit for the venue. We've already got the wedding dress. Everything. We pay for everything for the wedding. DJ, photographer, everything for the wedding. And what I don't understand is that y'all spend more money on stupid stuff, but you can't come out to support your family and your friends at a wedding. Like, tell me if I'm wrong. Is we wrong? Let me know. Because y'all pay for tickets, Beyonce tickets, $1,000 tickets. Y'all going to go meet Chris Brown for $1,000-something, but when it comes to your friends and your family, you can't pay the ticket. Like, these weddings ain't cheap. What's going on? Like, I don't get it.
No, I get it. I'm here to tell you. Why are you spending $200,000 on your wedding? Now, I don't know what Rob paid for his wedding. That ain't none of my business to know. It's Rob's business to know. I didn't ask for all of this stuff. You asked for all of this stuff. It's your wedding. This ain't a restaurant where you can now pass the cost onto your customers. That ain't how this is. Why is your wedding that much money? Why is your wedding a 4-year education at a college? Tell me that. Beyonce, I went to the Renaissance tour. It was way better than your wedding's gonna be. I promise you. Certainly better musical guests. That sounds like a you problem. We got to start getting back to telling people that some things are a you problem. If you drop $200,000 and now you're trying to figure out a way to pay for this thing, maybe you should have just had a cheaper wedding. I'd have been cool if Rob had had his wedding in a nice church. We go, we celebrate. And then afterwards, Rob's like, hey, we rented out this place. Everybody pay for your own meal. I'd have been happy to do that. I'm there to celebrate you guys, to celebrate your nuptials, to support you because you my man. For $400, Rob, I'll see you at work. I'll see you at work. We can go eat another time. We can go drink another time. You know what? Why don't I take you and Caroline out and it'll be less than $400 for me to do that. We can have a great time. This man is ridiculous. $400? I want to go to my sister's wedding for $400. I've seen you enough. You know what? I'll see your husband at Christmas time. $400? Something's wrong with that individual. You're sick is what you are. I'm happy none of your friends and family want to come to this thing. I hope you spend the rest of your life paying off this wedding. That's what I really hope. I hope you spend the remainder of your days trying to pay off this wedding. That's ridiculous.
I mean, I literally would never do that to guests. Don't get me wrong. Weddings are expensive. His $200,000 number, he must be having quite the wedding. Like, they're expensive. The old pocketbook takes a little bit of a hit when you have a wedding. Don't get me wrong, but to charge people, this ain't tickets to the AFC title game. This ain't, hey, do you want to see the Royals in the World Series again in Game 7? That's an event someone's going to drop $450 to come to. Your friends and family that will see you after the event are not paying $450. Nope. And I would blame no one for not paying. Like, he called it like, you guys can get tickets to that. Why don't you get tickets to this? You're not a ticketed event.
Then he named Beyonce. Like, bro, I mean, you paid to go to the Eras Tour. Why did you pay to come to my wedding? What are you talking about? That's the kind of production you giving me? Because I don't know about you. When I paid for the Renaissance Tour, I got a much better show than the one you're going to provide me. I think I know what's going to... I know exactly what songs you're going to play during the event. I know what words are going to be said. I wouldn't pay that. Somebody said, C-Dot, would you pay $450 to go to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift wedding? That's a little different, man. I think, you know what?
That's also a different question.
Yeah, I might do that.
Let's say you got invited and the invite said, you owe us $450.
I still might pay it. I still might pay it. Hey, Taylor, you take Venmo? Taylor, you got a Cash App? Because I will send you to $450. Do I get a plus one too? I get two tickets for this thing? That's an event I would pay $450 for. I'll 100% pay for that. You know who all else is going to be there at the wedding? It ain't just going to be them two at the wedding. It's going to be a lot of people. You tell me Blake Lively going to be there? Yeah, I'll pay the $450.
What would you pay to have Nick put you at Joy Taylor's table for his wedding?
Why do you got to bring that up, bro?
That's one of the weddings you went to this summer.
Okay, I'm just asking, why do you have to bring that up?
It's a thing that happened, and I'm saying if Nick said, hey, I'll put you at Joy's table, but you owe me X amount, what's the number?
Okay, but I'm just saying, why are you reminding me? That wasn't a fun 45 minutes for me. I'm the only one sitting directly in the sun. The sun is beating down on me. It's right in my face. I'm at a table. I don't know anybody else at my table. And then I see just across from me, I see Joy Taylor and Danny Parkins just laughing it up. Ha ha ha, kikiing like they're old pals. I'm over there just lonely by myself. Then, you know, when everybody's done eating and we all come back together, everybody coming up to me, Pony, Mike Meltzer, why weren't you at our table? Great question. I don't know why I wasn't over there, Mike Meltzer. Why don't you ask Nick Wright? Ask him why I wasn't at this table with you guys and Joy Taylor. That's where I wanted to be. I forgot all about that till you reminded me. I had moved on with my life. But no, you had to remind me of that being the case. Coming up on the other side, you know what? Let's try to get back on the same page here. We're going to have Dan Hayes join the show. He covers the Minnesota Twins for The Athletic. We're going to get his thoughts on game one of the series yesterday between those two teams. And we'll just talk about baseball. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.